So we are in a new series, the second week of The Power of God. As I kind of told you last week, we got the word, and I'm not certain where this is going to go. It's kind of a week to week. Usually I have things all planned out, but I sense God said, you know, seek me each week and we'll see where it heads. And so we are looking at the power of God, which is necessary in our lives. God the Father, as I talked kind of construction last week, God the Father has the blueprint. He has the plan for our lives. And Jesus laid the foundation. That's the first thing that you need to build upon is the foundation. And so now it's time to get to work. Church, it's time to get to work. And in order to get to work, we need tools and we need power. And so we want to dive in today, and today we want to look at is, what is this power? What does the Bible say about it? And if you're taking notes, I hope you have lots of ink in your pens. I think I have about 13 passages, so we are going to hit a ton of scriptures today. But to start off, we're going to read a verse that we ended with last week, and maybe this is our theme verse. We might start off with it every Sunday. But I think I think we want to repeat it until we understand it. So we will hit it over and over again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ can work through me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the power of God. And Lord, I know it is necessary in our lives. And so Lord, today I pray that you give us understanding to what this is, how it works, how to apply it, how to see it, how to know it. But Lord, that comes through the Holy Spirit. And so we invite the Holy Spirit into this place, and I pray, Heavenly Father, you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Trev, I'll just flip over
to the handheld. Ooh.
So today's message is entitled, "The Finger of God." There's an interesting title, "The Finger of God." So to get into this, what is this power of God? It's always a good idea to go back to the beginning. There's a Princess Bride quote there. Okay, I'll hold it back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go back to the beginning. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I think you've heard that one before. You might know that one. But in order to understand the power of God, we need to understand God. We have God the Father. We have God the Son. We have God the Holy Spirit. They're the Godhead. They're the Trinity. They're one God, three persons. So who created everything around us? Well, all three of them did. But they all had different jobs, different parts of this creation. John chapter 1, 1 through 4. "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone." The Word, if you don't know this, is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus already existed. Everything was made through Jesus. Without Jesus, God the Son, there is no creation. Life is enabled. We have life because of Jesus. But how were things created? How were they made? God the Father had a thought, creation. He had the blueprint. He had the plan. Jesus, God the Son, allowed or permitted, or all things were enabled through him. But how was it made? How did it work? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deeps of the water. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. You see, God the Father was there, God the Son was there, and God the Holy Spirit was there too. What was the Holy Spirit doing? He was pacing. Isn't that what you read there? He was hovering. He was sitting there like, I'm bored. I got nothing to do. He was sitting there in anticipation, hovering over the waters of the deep until God spoke the word and things were created. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. Like I said, we're going to be all over the place. Scriptures. When I look at the night sky and I see the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set into place. God made everything with what? His fingers. Can you see it? God the potter. He's sitting at the potter's wheel and he grabs some dirt and some clay, or maybe he grabs some moon dust. And he sits there and he forms this sphere, this moon, and he puts little pock marks all over it, sort of thing. And then he flicks it up into the sky and he gives it a spin and he smacks it and it starts going into orbit. God created it with his fingers. That's what the Bible tells us. God the Father had a thought. God the Son, he made it happen. And they made it happen with his fingers. What are his fingers? Does God have fingers? Some of you are imagining that Michelangelo, right? That finger of God touching Adam, sort of. No, that's not what we're talking about. Get that picture out of your mind. I don't know why it's there anyways. Luke chapter 11, verse 20, out of the New King James Version. But if I cast out demons, this is Jesus talking, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. You see, Jesus doesn't do any work on his own. I think that's fascinating. Jesus, the Son of God, doesn't do any work on his own. Jesus needs the finger of God. Let's imagine that one. I'm going to throw all sorts of imagination in your head. Your teenagers, do they ever come up to you and say, hey, Mom, Dad, can I borrow the keys? Because they need power to go do something, right? Did Jesus say, because he can't do anything on his own, he only does it through the finger of God, does he go, hey, God, can I borrow your finger? We have lucky rabbit's foot, right? We put on our keychains. Did Jesus have a keychain with the finger? Never mind. He has to have the finger of God. God's fingers do stuff. So what is the finger of God? It's not God. It's not Jesus. Jesus has to borrow it. It's the finger of God. What is this thing? Well, let's read the same verse out of the New Living Translation, Luke 11:20. But if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. See, God created everything, and he does everything with his fingers, with his power. You see, fingers are the application of the plan, the blueprint of God. So what is the power of God? What does his work? It is God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, the finger of God, the work of God, the application of God, the action of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is, the power of God. And Jesus needed that power to do stuff. Jesus, the Son of God, needed the Holy Spirit in order to do stuff. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus got baptized, water baptized, and when he came out, the Bible tells us he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus got to work. You know, Jesus did some work before he was baptized and filled with the Spirit. But he even told his mom, it's not my time yet. Because he wasn't plugged in to the full power of God. He needed the Holy Spirit. And so after he was filled with the Spirit, his ministry began. It began after he had the power of God. What did he do up until then? So, Jesus needs the power of God. Do you ever feel powerless? We talked about this a little bit last week. where you're at right now, do you feel powerless? Well, if you feel powerless, you might be missing something. Sounds like the Holy Spirit is important to us and important to creation. Job chapter 33, verse 4. For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The Spirit of God, the finger of God, the power of God makes stuff. It made us. The power of God, the Spirit, it does stuff. And also we need to know, if I was created by the power of God, I think I was designed to run on the power of God. So far, I've been the only one to fill up my pickup truck with fuel. My pickup truck runs on diesel. I probably should be the only one filling up my truck, because I wouldn't want any of my kids to, all right, what do I put in this thing? Because if you put diesel in an unleaded vehicle, or you put unleaded in a diesel vehicle, you might have some problems. And some of y'all are running on the wrong fuel. You're not running on the fuel God designed you to run on. You are designed to run on the power of God. What is the power of God? The Holy Spirit. You're running on the wrong fuel, and it's going to blow up. So do we really need the Spirit? Do we really need this Holy Spirit? Do we really need the power of God? John chapter 16, verse 7, out of the New King James Version. Nevertheless, this is Jesus talking. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit in the Bible has tons of names. And right here, it's the Helper. Now, we know Jesus is a big deal. I don't know if you know that. Jesus is a pretty big deal, right? His work on the cross allowed for us to go to the Father. Jesus is the foundation. You know, being able to go to heaven, eternal life, to be in God's presence, that's a pretty big deal. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that work. Now, that's the end of the story, right? Jesus came, lived, died for our sins, was resurrected. End of story. Let's go. Let's roll, God. Let's go up to heaven. That's not what happened. We're still here on earth. And earth, I don't know if you've noticed, is kind of tough. It's kind of hard, especially now that Jesus is gone. So why in the world would Jesus save us but leave us here on earth without him? Have you ever wondered that? Why was that the plan, God? God, let me give you a few tips on your planning. A little poor there. I mean, you send us the big deal, Jesus Christ, and then you take him away. Why not just leave him here? But the big deal, Jesus said that he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, can come and help us. Say to your neighbor, we need help. We need help. That's a great name for the Holy Spirit. He is here to help us because we need it. So here's a thought. If we have to stay behind, why not just have Jesus stay here on earth with us? Why leave? We have to think about that. We need to understand this. We know that God, all three of them, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us out of Jeremiah 23, 24 and other verses, they're omnipresent. They can be anywhere. They are anywhere at any time. But when Jesus was born as a human baby, he gave something up. Philippians chapter 2, 6 through 8. Told you there's going to be a lot of scriptures. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. I wonder what those privileges were. What did Jesus give up? He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died of a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus became flesh. I think everyone in here is, yes, we're all flesh. Can your flesh, maybe moms, can your flesh be everywhere at all times? Moms, you guys are superhuman sometimes, and you're always watching, right? Can our flesh be everywhere? No. Because our flesh is what? It's limited. What's another name for limited? It's powerless. Jesus gave up his power to be a human. And he had to leave earth because his flesh couldn't be everywhere at all times. Now, there's this unique thing when Jesus died and was buried and resurrected and came back. What was he? He was kind of unique. I mean, he could be touched and felt. That's what Thomas did, touch the holes and the scars. But he could go through walls. There was this unique thing. But Jesus was in one place at one time. He was limited. He was powerless. There's only so much he could do. He had to leave. Let's think about that. From the book Holy Spirit by John Bevere, which I may or may not refer to from time to time in this series, John Bevere has us try to imagine if Jesus was still here on earth today. Okay? Imagine that. Jesus died, buried, resurrected, but Jesus the man is still here on earth. And you need to pray to Jesus. Think about it. How does that work? We'd have to get on a plane, and we'd have to fly to Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, which I wouldn't really recommend right about now. We'd have to get there. We'd rent a car. Then we'd pull out our phone. We'd go to Instagram or Facebook or X, and we'd try to figure out where Jesus is. And then we'd drive to wherever Jesus is at because he's a human. He's in one spot. From the book Holy Spirit. Since there would be such a long line, I would probably be limited to a maximum of 60 seconds with Jesus. So I would definitely need to have my questions or requests ready. And remember, he would need to sleep and eat, so he would have maybe a good 14 hours per day to give to the masses. At this rate, Jesus, who would be able to see 840 people a day if he spent 60 seconds with each person. It would therefore take Jesus 1,190 days, or 3.26 years, to see 1 million people. Think about it. There's 8 billion people about on this planet. What does that mean? Get in line. Do you want to pray to Jesus? Do you want to see Jesus? Get in line. You might not see him for years. And so why? What did Jesus say? I have to go. Because I'm sending you someone who is better. Better equipped to help you with the work here on earth. He sent us the Holy Spirit. The fingers of God, the power of God. Now, Jesus, he's not up in heaven twiddling his fingers. He's preparing that place for us. When our work here on earth is done, that work that the Holy Spirit is here to help us with. Are you with me so far? Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. See, the Holy Spirit gives us the power of God because the Holy Spirit is the power of God. I don't know about you, but I would like the power of God. So I guess I want his Holy Spirit. I want his Holy Spirit living and active in my life so that I can be the hands of God, so I can be the feet of God, so I can be the fingers of God. And so I need the power of God. You need the power of God. And Jesus needed the power of God. If Jesus needed the power of God, so do I. So how do I get this power of the Holy Spirit? How do I get the Holy Spirit? Because isn't that the question we are all asking? How do we get empowered by the Holy Spirit? Can we go to Amazon? You know, pull out your apps and get it delivered to you in 2 business days? Take 2 of these tablets? Is that how it works? How do we get the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, how much time do you have? Because that could be a very, very, very long answer. Or it could be a short one, depending upon many reasons. But as we just read in Luke 24:49, there's a couple of elements there that I think are necessary to the Holy Spirit. Number one, it's kind of inferred there, is knowing Jesus. These were people that followed after Jesus. They were with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They were, my word, devoted to Jesus. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago at Easter, being devoted to Jesus. You need to know Jesus. But secondly, what did they do?
They waited.
Oh, isn't that such a great word? Don't we all love that word? Wait. Patience. They knew Jesus, and they waited. Do you know Jesus? I mean, do you really know Jesus? Patrick Stewart. I know him. I've watched him on TV most of my life, his movies. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise. I've watched documentaries on him. I've read his book, Making It So, which is awesome. I know Patrick Stewart. But does Patrick Stewart know me? Well, there's a chance, maybe live streaming right now, he checks in from time to time. That'd be kind of cool. I know him, but does he know me? Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? Because to some, he'll say, I never knew you. Does Jesus know you? Parenting. Let me give you an example. Let's say the kids are off to school, off to work. And before I go, I leave a note on the table. And you guys remember we used to do that all the time? You know, we didn't have texting. It was always notes on the fridge or whatnot. Let's say I leave a note, a written note, a written command, if you get the reference. And I leave it for my kids from when they get home from school and from work. And let's say the note says, we are having company over later today. When you get home, please clean up your rooms. Simple note. When I come home and look around, am I able to tell who's been obedient? Can I see who knows me enough to listen to me? Yes. The Bible left us some notes, left us some commands. The Bible says, do not sin. I don't know if you've read that. Do not sin. But you're into pornography. You're a liar. You're an alcoholic. Do you know Jesus enough to be obedient to him? On top of that, maybe your pastor comes up to you and says, hey, you really need to stop treating your wife that way. Or maybe your pastor says you should really clean up your language. Or maybe he keeps telling you over and over again, I really think you should get plugged in to a Bible study. Now, you may not know Jesus, but I do. So let me give you some suggestions of how to live. Will you be obedient to the Word of God or to the authority of God that's in your life? Do you know Jesus? But you don't. So you end up getting a divorce. You end up in prison. Now, God, through consequences, is trying to get your attention. He's trying to wake you up. So what do? Do you turn to Jesus? Do you obey? Do you know Jesus? Because you have to know Jesus. He's got to be your first thought in the day. He's got to be your last thought of the day. He's got to be your every desire. You love him first and foremost above all other things. Because that's what that church, those people, those followers of Christ did in that moment before Jesus left. They knew Jesus. And then they waited. So, maybe you do know Jesus. How long do we have to wait? They waited, if you do the math, about 7 days in Jerusalem. So is that what we got to do? We got to get on that plane and fly to Jerusalem and then find some second story room, go to an upper room, and wait there for 7 days. Is that what it is? We need to know Jesus, and we need to wait. I wonder if there's anything else that maybe we should do or look into. Luke chapter 24, 50 through 53. So then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting up his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken to heaven. I get a kick out of that one. Sorry, my imagination.
May I bless you with an overabundance of financial.
Why did he leave in the middle of the blessing? Come on, he was just getting to the good part. He left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all their time in the temple praising God. I don't think receiving the Holy Spirit or the power of God is like making cookies. If you add these ingredients together and you cook them for 12 minutes at 350 degrees, bam, you got it. Power of God. I don't think there's a step-by-step, but there are ingredients. There are ingredients to being able to put these things together for the Holy Spirit to be living and active in your life. But I do know that the Bible does require us to know Jesus and to wait on him expectantly. But are there some other ingredients that are maybe important to our lives, to our heart, in order for the Holy Spirit to fill us, in order for us to have the power of God? Well, as we just read, they followed Jesus, they were with Jesus, they worshiped Jesus even after he left, they had great joy, and they spent all their time in the temple. And what did they do? They praised God. Tell me what those ingredients, maybe those aren't the specific ingredients you need, but tell me what do those ingredients in your life produce? Devotion to God. Knowing God, loving God. And what does God do for those that love him and are devoted to him? He gives them gifts. He gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, why don't I have the Holy Spirit or his power in my life? Well, maybe you're missing an ingredient. Could be. Or maybe it's something else. Let's see if there's anything else. Acts chapter 19. I think this is our last verse. Gave you a ton. Acts chapter 19, 2 through 7. Paul is talking to some new believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them.
No,
they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, let's do that again. As soon as they heard this, they had understanding. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. You see, there's another piece to this puzzle. There's another ingredient to the recipe, and that is understanding the Holy Spirit. You see, they didn't even know that the Holy Spirit existed. They had no concept of this. That changes things. Because when we don't understand the power of God, we don't apply it right. We need to understand it. Back to construction. As I was a carpenter many years ago, my boss, he liked DeWalt tools, and that's what we mainly had. And I had a DeWalt skill saw, you know, the old black sort of thing, about yay big. And the blade's on the opposite side, so as you're cutting as a right-handed guy, you have to look over the top of it to see your cut line. And one day, the foreman, Paul, came to the job site, and he pulled out of a new box. Anytime there's a new toolbox, you know, everyone's looking. We stop what we're doing. And he pulled out a Porter Cable worm drive skill saw. I'd never seen a worm drive skill saw. And they're kind of longer. They're shorter. And the interesting thing is the blade was on the left side, not the right side. So as a righty, you know, you could push through and you could see very nicely. And so we were all trying it. You know, the rest of the crew were like, oh, can I borrow that? And so we're trying this Porter Cable worm drive. And we're, you know, you try it the first time and you're like, ooh, can I get one of these? Go talk to the boss. But after a day or two of using it, I'm like, this just doesn't feel right. It doesn't work. I don't like it. I like my old one. You see, sometimes you see something new and flashy. You really want it. But many times, that new and flashy thing, it doesn't fit you. You see, we look at the Holy Spirit. We look at the power of God without understanding. We see someone who prays in tongues, who prophesies. Maybe they pray for healing and someone is healed. Maybe they speak eloquently before people. Maybe they preach with passion and the power of God. They evangelize with the power. And what do we say? I want that. Can I have a little bit of that? Can I order that on Amazon? We see that. And these are the gifts that God gives to us. But we make a mistake. You see, we lack the understanding of this Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit's gifts, of the power of God. You see, our mistake, our lack of understanding, which this group had, is we seek the gifts. We want the gifts, but we don't want the giver. We seek the application of the power, but we don't seek the one who is the power. We prepare for the outcome of the power instead of preparing our hearts to receive the power. And here's the big misunderstanding. Here's the big problem. We seek the glory, not the glorious one. We don't understand the power of God. We know we need it. We know we want it. But we still don't understand it. But in the scripture, did you see possibly another important ingredient to the power of God? Water baptism. Do you have to be water baptized to be saved? No. Do you have to be water baptized to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. But people will ask me or say to me, I'll ask them, have you been water baptized? And a lot of times they'll say, well, why should I be? I don't have to be. Why should I be baptized? And my answer is always the same. Why not? Why not be baptized? Are you seeking the Holy Spirit and the power of God? Do you need the Holy Spirit in your life? Then do what Jesus did. Jesus got water baptized. Oh, isn't that convenient? By the way, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have water baptism. Man, isn't that nice? Well, Pastor, I don't really need to get baptized. Are you sure about that? Or is it because you don't want to? Because if there is not the desire of Jesus, if there's not the desire to do what Jesus did, then do you know Jesus? I know that's a challenging thought, question, maybe unfair. But if there's resistance to in your heart to what Jesus did as an example, there could be problems. So we'll have a water baptism in a couple of weeks. It'll be following the service. I believe there are four here that want to get baptized. Let me know if you desire to be baptized because it is a great day. And is that the missing ingredient? I don't know. Are you resistant to it? There could be a problem there. Here's my point. I received the Holy Spirit in my life as an 8-year-old kid because I had all the ingredients I needed to to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What were they? I have no idea. I don't know what they were. I was 8 years old. I can barely remember my life then. I don't know what the ingredients were, but God does. And he said, yes, young man, I'm going to give you the power of God. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So what are the ingredients you need for the Holy Spirit? What are the ingredients you need to unlock the power of God? I don't know. Is it surrender? Is it forgiveness? Is it repentance? Is it understanding? Is it devotion to God? Are you missing the ingredient of love or kindness? Do you need patience? Do you need to praise and worship more? Do you need more of the Word of God, Scripture, in your life? Do you need healing first? Do you need to get rid of unselfishness? Or do you just need a little splash of water baptism? I honestly don't know what ingredients you need, but God does. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think we all know. If you have yet to see the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and you're wondering what's missing, what must be done, I'm pretty sure you know. I'm pretty sure there's this thing in your life that you've been holding back, that you're not all in. I don't know what it is. God does. I think you do. So what are you holding back from God? What is the resistance that you have in your heart to the power of God in your life? And sometimes God reveals it to us. You know where God sometimes reveals it to us? Well, one, through scriptures, as I said. Two, through an authority, through a pastor, pointing some things out in your life. Sometimes it's in a Bible study as you're fellowshipping and reading the word comes out. But it's saying, God, look at my heart. What am I missing? And some of you, it's maybe one thing. There's one hang up, one resistance, one ingredient. Some of you, it is the Betty Crocker cookbook. There's a whole lot we need to get working on. And is it all required in order for the power of God to work? I don't know. The cool thing is, that's up to God. I like that. It's up to God to give the gift. It's not up to me. It is not up to me to give the power of God. As I read scriptures, there's one thing that I saw today that is my job. That's to lay hands on you. One of my pastors once said, the Bible encourages us to lay on hands, but it doesn't tell you how hard. So I want to pray for you. We're going to pray to conclude. We're going to pray to dismiss. As we did last week, and we're going to do this week and in weeks to come, I want to be here and be available to pray with you. And I want to lay a hand on you. Gently. And I want to pray for you. But if you are feeling the lack of the power of God, if you're uncertain of the Holy Spirit in your life, then come and let's pray. And what's God going to do? I have no idea. Well, that's pretty cool. Because I love him and I trust him. And if you came up a few weeks ago, if you came up last week, and you're still sitting there like, come up again. Come up again. Keep being that persistent. The scripture talks about the persistent widow. Or we talked about the guy that I can't remember, Bart, who was shouting really loud, Jesus, Son of David. He just kept on pestering. Keep coming back. God, I want the power. I want your power in my life. So we'll pray, we'll dismiss, and I'll be up here. and I'll pray with you. And what is God going to do? I don't know. That's up to God. But I want you to ask the question in your heart, God, what's missing? What's missing? What's the ingredient that you want me to work on? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as a pastor, I'm so glad I'm not in control of this. You are. And by this, I mean the world, everything that's going on, it's in your hands. Lord, the beginning of another little rumor of war in the Middle East. But it's in your hands. And Lord, I'm going to praise you for that. Lord, we look at our nation, so divided, and seems like new divisions every day. Lord, I'm so glad I'm not in control of that. But you are. Lord, we look at our lives, the things that are going on, our health, our relationships, our work, our parenting, our marriages. God, you are leading us. You are guiding us. You have your hand in it. And I want to fall in line in obedience to what your plan is. Lord, I want to be a voice to this world, taking the Great Commission and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as you've called us to do. Lord, I want to be a light in my neighborhood and my community as your Bible commands us to do. God, I want to be a blessing to my wife and my children as your Bible commands me to do. Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be your fingers. I want to be the one to touch people that need you. But in order to do that, I need your power. God, I can do it on my own with my incredibly awesome voice and dashing good looks. I can try to do this on my own. But nothing compares to the power of God. Nothing compares to the Holy Spirit living and active in my life. So, Lord, I need you. I ask for your power to be used in me. But Lord, sometimes we feel there's a block. Maybe we haven't had that moment. Maybe we haven't had an evidence of. Maybe we just go around feeling powerless. And Lord, there are some here today that's where they're at. So I pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that you bring a word to their mind. What is the thing they lack? What is the thing they're missing? And maybe it's understanding. Maybe it's obedience. Maybe it's the word. Maybe it's trust. Lord, I pray that each heart here that has not seen the power of God in their lives, Lord, you reveal to us, what do we need to work on right now, today? And Lord, as you deliver that thought into our hearts and our minds, Lord, I pray that we take that step to work on that. But also, Lord, we want to give room for you to minister. And Lord, if it's coming forward to be prayed for, Lord, we make room for that. But we look to you, the giver, not the gifts. We look to you, the power, not the outcome of power. Or we look to you so that your glory is revealed, not our glory. We look to you this morning. Lord, I thank you for this gathering. Lord, I thank you for the hearts of praise that we worship. Just knock my socks off today, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and worship you. But Lord, more than just praising, Lord, I want you to do a work in our lives. And so, Lord, if we go from this place and we shake a hand or two, have a greeting as we fellowship on the way out, Lord, I pray for blessings upon those. But also, Lord, if we have some more work to do today, I pray, Lord, that you do that work here today. So bless us, Father, we pray. Allow us to walk in your favor. Allow us to walk in your goodness. And Lord, we want to walk in the power of God. Thank you for this. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.